All righty. Well, thank you. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Amalek, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Amen? Amen. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Amen. Amen. What I want us to come from the title, Becoming. I just gave him one word because he couldn't do the whole length of my title. Becoming the man or the woman who trusts in God even in crisis. What? Can you trust God when the sun is not shining on you? Can you trust God when people who say they love you leave you? Can you trust God when the diagnosis isn't what you wanted to hear? Can you trust God in the middle of a crisis? For in crisis, there's a point where you have to make a decision. This decision tonight, I want to know, can you trust God? Let's go to verse 1. Something has happened. There is a famine in the land. It's not something that's unusual because it says there was one also when Abraham was alive. Let's start back there. Abraham has passed on. If you read 25 of Genesis, chapter 25 of Genesis, Abram has passed away. Sarah has already passed away. Even his brother Ishmael has passed away. It is now Isaac who is standing. Isaac, if you remember, is the promised child of God. You remember that Sarah was 90 years old and Abraham was 100, and they had a son and they named him Isaac. If you remember, Abraham was the one who received the covenant, saying that your seed will bear more seeds and seeds and seeds. It will be for generations to go. This is Isaac, who was the first heir to the promise. Do you understand who Isaac is? Isaac was born, can I say it, rich? His father was not broke. But yet we hear there is a famine in the land. If you go back to Genesis 12, when you go home, verse 10, it talks about how in Abraham's time, the famine was grievous. Meaning what? There was some suffering going on. There was some pain going on. There were people not just in lack, there just wasn't enough to feed nobody. And at that point, Abraham went down to Egypt. But if you notice in Genesis 26, something is different. Yes, there's a famine. He goes to Gerar. He goes to Amalek. But God steps in. Before you make a decision to go somewhere else that I didn't tell you to go, hear me out first. Ain't that something? Listen to what he says now. Excuse me. I'm trying to flip this back open. I was trying to prevent it from flipping on me. It says in verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Well, my daddy went to Egypt. Why wouldn't I go there? That's the problem with us when Christ has come. We don't go and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What we do is we seek how we feel. We seek how the world sees. We seek it all like that. But we don't seek God first for his wisdom. We go ahead, well, it worked for mama. It worked for daddy. It worked for grandma. It worked for big mama. It worked for the rich. It worked for the... And then you wonder, why isn't it working for me? Because God said, I didn't tell you to do that. Instead, I said, come to me. Will you turn to Proverbs chapter 2? And will you please turn to, or go to verse 6? If you're there, I got an amen in the back. If you're there, will you read it? What? Wait a minute. The Lord giveth wisdom, and out of whose mouth? Not out of your mama's mouth? Not out of your daddy's mouth? Not out of the government's mouth? Not out of your best friend's mouth? It comes from the mouth of God. But if you're not listening, if you're not going to him, you won't know the wisdom, and you'll keep following what the world says to do, and then find yourself in a pit trying to find your way out, and the only way out is going to be going back to God. But God said, if you come to me first, seek me first. But to do that, you got to be somebody who knows and understands what it means to be in a relationship with God. I got ahead of myself. Becoming means two things. I can say to you, Minister Paul, that tie becomes you. Meaning what? It makes you look good. It makes you look distinguished. That's a becoming. Or a becoming could be, if I were to refer to my young brother in the back, Chico. His mama has a son, and she knows he's not a man, but he's a boy. But she believes and has faith that he will become a man. But she also understands he is becoming. So she instills into him all that he should need to become a man. He might become 16, walk in the house, I'm a man now, mama. And his mama might go, until you can pay the bills, until you can put food on this table, until you can pay the rent, baby, you're still my son and I love you. But until you're able to do all these things, you're not a man yet. Until you learn how to love, until you learn how to forgive, until you understand who God is, you're still not a man. But you're becoming one. And I'm going to walk you through it if you let me. Amen? And that's what God is saying. If you let me, I'll walk you through it. Because when you become one who trusts in God, even in a crisis, you make God look good. What? I know you saved Rebecca. I know that you love God. But if when crisis come, I see you running, my mind is going, well, her God must not be that good. But if I can see you standing strong, if I can see you being who God says you are in the midst, I can see you saying to yourself, be still and know that he is God. That says something to me. And it says something about your God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? We've got to start becoming You might not be there yet. That's okay. But I do need you to start becoming. Amen. To trust is to have a confidence, a reliance, or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or the sound principle of another person. That's what God wants from you. Not just say that you trust me, but your mind is no longer keeping you up wondering how you're going to pay the bill. Your mind, you're not sitting up talking about what the doctor said. You're not sitting up saying who loves me, who don't love me. You're not sitting up doing all that. You're resting. You're trusting in God. Let's go to Psalms 9, 9 through 10. The book of Psalms, chapter 9, verses 9 to 10. Actually, I'll go ahead and read it for you. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For the Lord has not forsaken them that seek thee. Amen? So the first point I want to bring out to this is, because notice when God interferes, when God steps in, when he was about to make a decision, he says, don't go to Egypt. Stay where you are and trust me. Do you see that? Stay where you are and just trust me. But you say now, God, there's a famine in the land. How am I going to feed not just Rebecca, but all of my slaves, all of my workers, all of the cattle, all the everything? How do I take care of them? God says, trust me. Before you make decisions based on your crisis, based on your situation, listen to me and trust in me. Amen? So he says, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go back to your old ways. We have different ways of getting money that worked back in the day, didn't we? First, let me go borrow money from mama and daddy. But they don't have no money. Well, then, let me go get my pool stick out. Let me go pay some pool and gamble me some money. Let me go and put my money down on some lottery, the little dollar I have, and put it down on some lottery. And I'm going to win that lottery, because you know it is saying I'm going to get $2 million. No, it says it is $2 million, not that you're going to get that $2 million. All right? Let me go ahead and go down to the casino. Put my money down on blackjack. I'm good at blackjack. Let me go ahead and play me a little poker. Let me go do all these things and lose all your money. And do all these things. Because it worked for Fred. It worked for Thelma. It worked for Bobby. But surely it's going to work for me. God said, that's not how I work. I'm not in that. Why would you go down to Egypt and start doing what Egypt's doing and find yourself bound to it? Don't go back down to your emotions. Don't go back down to your anger. I'm telling you, man, I think it runs in my family, man, but boy, I have issues with anger. And God had released me from that thing. Because when I got angry, I hung on to that anger. And I thought about it for a whole lot. And God would be going, why are you still sitting there? You got to let go of the anger. You got to let go of the jealousy, the bitterness. You got to let go of the depression. You got to let go of the sorrow. You got to let go. God says, I'm not in that. Come with me. Stay with me. Here it is, joy. Here's the peace that passes all understanding. Here it is. Here is the glory. Here's my strength. Here's my wealth. Here's all that you need with me. But when you go down to Egypt, you're going to find not me. You might find something like a Band-Aid to go over your wound. But when the Band-Aid is old and comes off, the wound is still there and now it stinketh. Don't go down to Egypt. Instead, hear me. And so I began to listen to what God was saying. And I said, could the problem be that we have lost the knowledge of who God is. What do you mean? Well, look what look how God described himself. First it says, in verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. Let's stop for a minute. Sojourn. Stop for a minute. Sojourn means, yeah, live there, dwell there, but it does not mean be like them who are there. Sojourn means you are a foreigner. We are foreigners in this world. What do you mean, Pastor Green? We come from the kingdom of God. God sent us here to make this here a kingdom of God. What? Yeah, that's why when you become or you're becoming, you look good and people want to come to you and say, tell me about your God. Because I see he works for you. I see his power working through you. But if you're acting like a war, they're not going to come. But if we continue to trust in God, the people will see and won't. Basically, that's it. So he says, sojourn there, but don't be like them. Teach them to be like me. Oh, I didn't say be like me. Teach them what love is. Teach them what forgiveness is. Teach them what it means to repent. Teach them. But we won't teach them because we're too busy being like them. But if we're going to be the one that trusts in God, we got to understand we cannot be like them nor rely on them. Amen? Let's go on. Verse 3. And I will, look at this, I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed, I will give these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of thy seed, all these countries, and thy seed shall be in the shall all the nations of the earth. Shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he will bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's amazing how we read these scriptures and we shout on them, but when crisis comes, you don't remember nothing. But God says, who is Jehovah Jireh? I will provide for you. God says, I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm going to be the one that heals you. Go ahead and take the medicine, but understand that's only sustaining. I'm going to give you your total healing. And not when you get to glory, but right here. Why? Because I want you to be an ornament of who I am. Remember, I talked about how that time made you look good? Well, we make God look good. Why? Because we're becoming to him. He takes a delight in us. Psalms 34. Psalms 34, everybody get there. If it's not the right scripture, it's still a good one. It might be Psalms 37, actually. Psalms 37. Are you there? Verse 1. Actually, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thyself thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine house, thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen? Amen. He's going to delight in you, and you delight in him. But it begins with you trusting. Amen? But you can't trust him if you don't know who he is. He is your Father. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. He is your way maker. He is your peace. He is your strength. He is your hope. He is your dreams. He is everything that you have need of. He is El Shammah. What? He is there. He is El Roy. He is always present. He is God. But if you don't know him as God in your life, trusting, it's not going to be easy for you. Become the one who trusts in him. He was told by God, stay where you're in. Stay where I tell you. The Lord is a family. Stay where I'm telling you to stay at. Why, Lord? You remember your daddy? Go to Genesis 22. Read his daddy. Let's read what his daddy did. Let's see how obedient his daddy was. It's a familiar story. You know it already. But let's read a little bit about it. He says, all these blessings you will have, nothing that belongs to you cannot be blessed. Dad, let me tell you what happened to me. I went yesterday to go out to go and get some Gatorade and stuff for the church. So we can have some stuff to snack on and drink while we're here. I go out to my car. And I said, what is that on my armrest? Don't you know someone broke into my car? That just broke the window. That didn't crash. The glass is everywhere. And it took out my neighbor's car, the other neighbor's car. I'm in my carport. So someone came onto our property. They had to walk a good half a mile down to where my car was at. And my brother, he looked at my car. He looked in it this morning. He's like, but what do they want, your Bible? There's nothing in it that was a viable that you would want out of the car. And I said to him, I said, Lord, you know, I'm not really mad, but what I am is, do they not understand all that I have to go through just to put things back to right again? Make a police report, call the insurance company, get an appointment, call my job, say, hey, I'm going to be there. All this I had to do. But here I said to myself, to God, I'm not upset, Lord. Why? The car is yours. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. You're going to fix that car, if not give me a new one. You're going to do what you're going to do. For the enemy will never get no victory over us. I don't care how it looks. He will never get any victory over us. The blessing of God is with you. I don't care what it looks like. Trust in him. Amen? Amen. Genesis 22, are we there?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and read verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Go down to verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father? He said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Drop down to verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife, to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad. Let me show you what obedience is. God said, Go and sacrifice the son you love, Isaac. Give him to me. Now, if you think that Abraham would not have done it, you're fooling yourself. Abraham would have slit that boy's throat right then and right there. That's how obedient he was. God interfered and stopped it because he saw his faith. He saw his obedience. Isaac, who's now thinking about what God is saying, well, he was the one laying on the wood. So he knows how far his father was in his obedience. How far are you going in your obedience? What will you give up? What are you loving that's taking you from trusting God? What will you give up to show God that I trust you, God? Gave up your smoking. Some people, I was talking to somebody recently, I said, why don't you just discipline yourself? She says, what? Discipline yourself. God don't need to discipline you, discipline yourself. Well, you don't need to eat that. You don't need to wait and go get up. No, just say no to it. Do you understand? We make excuses instead of disciplining ourselves and trusting God to make a way. You don't have to go to the lottery. You don't have to go borrowing. You don't have to do anything like that. You don't have to go to sulk. You don't have to get mad. You don't have to do anything like that. Just trust God. Become the man or woman who trusts in the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm going to go back to Genesis 26. And let's finish that out. And the man, the place, no, I don't want to go there. That's next time. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. And then it said, Isaac dwelt. Isaac stayed. Isaac said, that was all I need. I don't need you to do anything else, Lord. I seen everything that I need to see. I heard everything I heard. I seen what my father did. I understood what he went through. I seen how you were with him. Based on that alone is enough for me to trust in you during a crisis. God don't really need to do another thing for neither one of us in this church or for those who believe. He has already done enough. But if you read all in the story, you're going to see God really show out. I don't want to go there yet. I'll get you next time on that. But I want you to become man or woman who trusts in the Lord and watch yourself become prosperous. Watch yourself increase. How do you know, Gene? The Bible tells me this is God speaking to us, and he does not lie. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Amen. Do we understand? Do you have a question? Amen. I am done. I am done. But what we are going to do is, I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Yeah, I do want to say something. Bishop Castle, now do you know, before I leave, do you know the three things that humans need to live? One is water. One is food. Say it again.
Shelter.
And when they are lacking, you'd be amazed what people do to meet that need. And that's why I brought up my car again. Somebody was lacking something. They thought my car was an answer. But what if they had went to God instead of being out there in chance of getting caught by the police. There's reason why people will sell drugs to children, to the grandma. They will sell their bodies because there's a lack. God says there's no need for you to go there. There's no need for you to be there. I will be your source and resource. I will be your father. I will even be your mother if that's what you want. I'll nurse you. But you got to trust. Just because you think you're lacking something does not give you the reason or an excuse to be like the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. God will take care of whatever you need. God says, I will provide. That's why when you read Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Before he goes there. Actually, go to Matthew 6. Let's read it. Then I'm going to close out. Matthew 6. Yes, sir. Matthew 6. Nope. Matthew 6. Start at verse 25. Matthew 6, New Testament. Matthew 6, New Testament. Verse 25. Therefore I say, this is Jesus talking unto you. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought of, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, to all his glory, was not arrayed like one of them, one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It was told to me there's 24 hours in a day. Talking about tithing. And I was explained to me, you owe God 2 hours and 40 minutes per day. What? Yeah, you don't mind giving your money and praise God, you don't mind giving your money. But can you now give your time? Because when you give your time, that 2 hours and 40 minutes per day, you're sitting in the presence of God. And he's going to tell you how to do what you need to be done. He's going to show you. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to pour into you. But you got to seek him out first. You got to put him first. Amen? Trust in God. Be in your word. Be in your prayer closet. And I guarantee, yes, I said guarantee, God will answer. God will respond. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, go what you're talking about too?
I don't know. What does it say? Huh? What's it say?
It says, ask and it shall be given. You seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. 7. For everyone that asks.
So who are you asking? Who are you asking?
I'm saying that.
No, no, no. Who are you asking?
God.
And what does God say?
He says, ask it, and then you shall see.
What? Wait a minute. You want to second guess God?
Right. You don't want to second guess.
You're not second guess God. Isn't that how Theo, when he comes to you? Mm-hmm. He comes to you, Daddy, I want this. Mm-hmm. You give it to him. Why? He gives it. You're the father.
Right.
But he wasn't scared. He went and asked you, Daddy, I want this. And you said, okay.
Right.
We don't think like that. He's your father.
Come on.
Why won't you go to him freely like a child and ask him for what you need and believe that Theo has a confidence in you that you don't want to ever break from him. That when he asks you, and if you don't want him to have it, you will explain to him, baby, you can't drive my car. Okay? All right, you can't drive my car. How old is Theo?
Seven.
You're only seven.
Right.
Then when you're 16, maybe you can drive your mama's car. But, you know? But if that boy had enough courage and confidence and faith and trust to ask his earthly daddy, why don't we have that confidence to go to our Heavenly Father and say, Father, I need a new house. The house I have is falling down. The house I have is not heating. The house I have is, and God goes, okay. Mm-hmm. Jean goes like, wait a minute. God said, okay, yeah. But I don't see a new house. Doesn't mean he's not okay. It just didn't come here yet. That's it. It will. It will.
God loves something in his time.
Right. It will manifest. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Bishop has another. Where's that new car? And you said God was going to give you. You want to act a joke on you? And all you going to say back? It's here. I'm sorry you can't see it, but I see it, because my God said I can ask him anything. But I don't need a new car. I just need to get this one fixed right here. But I'm looking for a new house because mine's is falling apart. So I'm asking God for it. We're looking for a new church, by the way. We're for a genuine building, and I thank God. But we need a new church that's fitting us, that has hot and cold water,
Amen.
That has air in the summer, and heat in the winter. We need more than two bathrooms. We need our own parking. We need a kitchen. We need class. We need a baptismal pool. So I'm asking God. We want a worship center, Lord. And I believe. You can laugh at me all you want, but I believe that it's going to show up. And when it does show up, I won't say I told you so. I'm just coming in and say, come on in, let us worship. Let us celebrate. When I move into a new house, I ain't going to say I told you so. I'm going to say, come on in, let's pray. Over this house that God gave me. Do you understand? Do you believe? Becoming the one who trusts God. Amen. Thank you for that scripture there, Minister May.